Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, this news was probably expected given that some of VHI's competitors increased their prices last week. But this morning, VHI has announced that it's going to increase the price of its policies by an average of 3% from October. It's the second price rise this year from VHI, which has 1.2 million customers in this country. So in March, the plans went up by 3%, another 3% coming now for VHI customers in October. Now, the US President Donald Trump has threatened further tariffs and export restrictions against countries that he says are targeting US tech, alluding to European countries and others who've created laws regulating the online world. All of this while Irish-based pharma companies are already working on restructuring plans to deal with the new 15% tariffs. Well, Aidan Marr is here, EY's lead for life sciences, tax and law. Aidan, you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us. So this new tariff threat is interesting, isn't it, when it comes to digital? Because it shows us that there's no guarantees anywhere with the 15%. Isn't that what you read into it?
Yeah, it just shows, I think, despite having a framework deal, there remains uncertainty for certain sectors. And I think the important message is, I think now it just shows the importance of agility and resilience, I think, that companies are operating in a world where tariffs are going to prevail, at least in the short to medium term.
And I'm sure all of those companies affected by the 15% know that you can't assume that that is the line drawn under this, that it may change.
Yeah, it does. But I think at least with the framework deal and clarity that certain sectors that we were particularly concerned about, like pharmaceuticals, like technology and particularly semiconductors, at least under the framework deal, that 15% is the cap. I think most importantly, they're subject to that separate review process, the 232 review process. And neither of those sectors actually have a tariff at the moment. So that doesn't apply at the moment. So importantly, I think, until those reviews conclude, they're operating in the current tariff environment. And most importantly for pharmaceuticals, that's zero.
So listen, on the pharma side, what are those companies doing now to deal with this?
Well, I think what they're doing at the moment, and obviously they've been dealing in an environment where they know tariffs have been coming. Any tariff is bad, I think, for business. I think clearly they continue to put inventory into the US. I think that does buy them time. And I don't think the US will see the impact from a price inflation perspective now to well into next year, because there's so much inventory now in the US. But I think companies are educating themselves around tariffs and looking at, is there opportunities to reconfigure their supply chain in a way that mitigates the tariff? You know.
So how would that work then?
So I think they're looking at earlier stages in their supply chain process where potentially the price of goods is at a lower price that they can define and actually support from a US customs and trade perspective as the import price into the US.
So that would mean making it to a certain point.
Well, a finished good.
And then sending it through for finishing in the United States?
No, it wouldn't. So it would have to be probably at that. So the pharmaceutical industry is quite complex. And customs, the US tariffs apply based on the current country of origin. And the country of origin depends on where the last point of substantial transformation is. So that's very different for very different drugs, but it's typically where the active pharmaceutical ingredient is manufactured. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the facts of a company as to what is done where. So they would need to look at that very individually.
So if you were a company, you might move the point where you're adding that active ingredient depending on the tariff levied in that country.
They won't, right? Not in the short term because of the heavy regulation that's there. So that's not possible, right? But they may look to actually support an earlier price where that API is actually manufactured and sold within a company's supply chain as their import price into the US. So it's basically reconfiguring their supply chain process to support that.
So how do you see that impacting us here in Ireland when it comes to pharma investment and jobs?
Well, I think in the short term, it's important because that 15% cost is a cost. I think most companies longer term, I think we're seeing companies evaluate US manufacturing. So they're doing this thing, what's called dual sourcing. So manufacturing pharma in the US for the US market. I think the opportunity for Ireland still remains then all those non-US markets. So Ireland has such a long track record. There's so significant capital investment here. And I think ultimately, at the moment, Ireland is significantly cheaper to manufacture a drug than it is in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And the time it takes from both a regulatory perspective, if a company hasn't got existing capacity to set up manufacturing in the US, it could take anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And the cost of doing that is significantly more than Ireland.
But that's what Donald Trump wants, isn't it?
Ultimately. Mm-hmm. But that means there is still opportunity for Ireland outside of the US markets, which is still significant. And that's why some of the government's announcements yesterday in the context of some of that broader trade policy is really important.
Right. What did you see in there that you felt would be useful and beneficial for these companies?
Well, I think specifically in the area of expanding of double tax agreements, I think enhancing the broader tax R&D tax credit and incentive environment. But the biggest thing we're hearing loud and clear is about competitiveness. And we've heard this a lot now. The cost of energy, water, housing for their staffs. So really infrastructure spend. But also looking forward, I think, around data sovereignty and the importance of data centres in Ireland as part of the whole data and AI strategy. So it's really important, Claire, that we're able to compete for that next wave of investment, not just hold on to what we have today.
Mm-hmm. So these big companies then, they had it so good with the American market that really we've left a whole area unexploited in other markets, which now need to be pursued at pace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, unfortunately, the way drug pricing has worked, the US market has been the most profitable because US drug prices are the highest globally.
Why is that?
Why is that? I think it's because of the nature of the US market and the reimbursement and the nature of the private insurance market in the US. That is historically
because
the way.
When you hear Donald Trump, and he talks about it a lot, doesn't
he? He does.
And he's talking about the weight loss drugs, which he calls the fat shot, and his friend, friend in inverted commas, whoever that might be, who pays so much less in the UK for this than somebody who's getting it in the United States. And you do wonder, why is it so high? But you're saying it's because of how they've structured healthcare.
It is because, you know, I guess the federal kind of support from a Medicare is not what it is typically like in Europe. And it's typically heavily reimbursed by private healthcare. And private healthcare is substantially more expensive in the US than it is in Europe.
But isn't it interesting that they haven't examined that? You know, they haven't examined that side of it.
Well,
per
he has. Well, not necessarily that, but he has explicitly come out and said that he wants to lower the price of US drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is undoubtedly going to put greater pressure, particularly in Europe, around the price of drugs that pharmaceutical companies want to get to basically fund R&D.
But he could do that through more federal investment, making it cheaper for the consumer. But I don't think that's really what he's interested in.
He's not. But it's interesting. He was still, you know, within the framework deal, generic pharmaceuticals got a clear, explicit 0-for-0 tariff. It's not subject to that 232 review.
Yeah.
It's very, very clear because the profit margins there in generic drugs are very, very small. They're not patented protected. So he's clearly going after the patented drugs that are much more profitable.
So listen, really what we all want to know when we're looking at ourselves and how this is going to impact is what effect do you foresee all of this happening when it comes to future investment and jobs in pharma here in Ireland?
Well, I think the important thing is how both the government react, and I think what people want to see now is action around the competitiveness piece. A lot of the multinational companies here are competing to maintain the investment here, but also that future investment. So I think it's really brave action around that incentive environment and those competitiveness aspects we talked about, infrastructure, And I think they want to see real action in the short to medium term around that, Claire, to be able to maintain but also compete for future investment. Mm-hmm.
And that future investment will be serving likely other markets beyond the United States.
I think certainly within the term of President Trump anyway. So who knows what will happen after that, Claire. Mm-hmm.
OK, well, listen, we'll leave it there. Well, thank you very much for coming in to join us this morning. Aidan Marr, EY's lead for life sciences, tax and law. Thank you for being with us.